Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So there's a few verses here without purports. I'll just read these myself and then we'll chant 37 together. This is text 33. Devayani gave birth to Yadu and Turvasu, and Sarmista gave birth to Druyu, Anu, and Puru. Text 34. When the proud Devayani understood from outside sources that Sarmista was pregnant by her husband, she was frenzied with anger. Thus she departed for her father's house. Text 35. King Yayati, who was very lusty, followed his wife, caught her, and tried to appease her by speaking pleasing words and massaging her feet. But he could not satisfy her by any means. Text 36. Shukracharya was extremely angry. He said, "You untruthful fool, lusting after women, you have done a great wrong. I therefore curse you to be attacked and disfigured by old age and invalidity." Unquote. Now today's verse. Sri Yayati Uvacha Atripto Smi Adya Kamanam Brahman Duhitari Sma Te Vyat Yasyat Yatam Yata Kaman Vayasa Yo Bidhasyati Siyatiruvacha Atripto Smyadya Kamanam Brahman Duhitari Smate Vetyasyatam yathakamam Vayasa shovihasyati Sriyatirvacha Atriptos myadya kamanam Brahmandu hitari smate Vyatyasyatam yathakamam Vayasa yobidhasyati Suyayatiruvacha Atriptosmi yadjikamanam Bhamanduhitari smate Vyatyasyatam yathakamam Vayasa yobidhasyati Sriyatiruvacha Atriptos myajakamanam Brahmandu hitarismate Vityasyatam yatakamam Vityasyatam yatakam Sriyatiruvacha Yityasitam Vitakamam Vyasa Yavidhasyati Matijis. Atriptos Mnyadya Kamanam Brahmanda Hyatari Smate Vyatyasya Tam Yatha Kaman Vayasa Yovidhasyati Marajis Sri Yatiruvacha Atriptos Madhya Kamanam Brahmandu Hatari Smate Vyatyasya Tam Yatha Kamam Vayasa Yavidhasyati Sviyati Ruvacha Achipto Smajjikam Sri Yati Ruvacha, King Yati said, Atripta, unsatisfied, Asmi, I am, Adya, till now, Kamanam, to satisfy my lusty desires, Brahman, O learned Brahmana, Duhitari, in connection with the daughter, Sma, in the past, Te, your, Vyatyasyatam, just exchange, Yatakaman, as long as you are lusty, Vayasa, with youth, Ya-abhidhasyati, of one who agrees to exchange your old age for his youth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya. King Yati said, O learned and worshipful Brahmana, I have not yet satisfied my lusty desires with your daughter. Śukracharya then replied, you may exchange your old age with someone who will agree to transfer his youth to you. Purport. When King Yati said that he had not yet satisfied his lusty desires with Sukacharya's daughter, Sukacharya saw that it was against the interest of his own daughter for Yati to continue in old age and invalidity, for certainly his lusty daughter would not be satisfied. Therefore, Sukracharya blessed his son-in-law by saying that he could exchange his old age for someone else's youth. He indicated that if Yayati's son would exchange his youth for Yayati's old age, Yayati could continue to enjoy sex with Devayani. Om Jnanatma Nandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshrim Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krota Vachalam Pungun Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kaupachivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One time a king asked his secretary, at what stage in one's life does one become free of lusty desire. And the secretary, he was a wise man, he said, actually, it's up to the end of life in general. And the king was surprised. He said, really? Doesn't it, don't you, get over it after some time? He said, no. So then sometime later, he heard about one elderly man that was very soon on his way out of his body. So he told the king, please, king, bring your daughter. I want you to show you something. So the king brought his beautiful daughter, and they went into this room where this man is leaving his body, very old. And the king was kind of like, well, why have you brought us here? Yeah. No, no, just observe. Where is the eyes of this elderly man who's ready to leave his body? Where is his eyes going? And he was just looking at the young girl, ready to leave his body. He's just looking at the young, attractive girl. So it's a major problem in the material world, getting free of lusty desires. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, after Arjuna asked him a question, Arjuna asked him, what is it that forces a person to act against his own will, his own desire? What is it that forces him to act in this way? And Krishna says, Kamesha Krodesha Rajaguna Smud Mahasthana Mahapama Vidyanamim. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born in the mode of passion, transformed into anger, and is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. All the greatest enemy of the world is lust. Yeah. Major enemy, major problem. So the only way to get free of this great enemy is that which can destroy this enemy has to also go within. And the main thing that can destroy this great enemy is Krishna in his transcendental form of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the more we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, the more we read the transcendental wisdom that's given to us by Krishna, the more we can become free of this shackle, this enemy. And then two verses later, Krishna says, Avartam jnanam etena jnanino nitrivayana kamarupena kante duspreena nalenacha. He says, the wise living entity's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and burns like fire. So here King Yati is saying that I haven't satisfied my lusty desires. But it's never satisfied, Krishna says. It's never satisfied. It's like if you try to put out a fire with ghee. What is the hope? It's not going to happen. It just increases. You have to put water, right? So this transcendental process of Krishna consciousness is the water that puts out this blazing fire of lust. Yeah. It's not an easy thing. But Krishna, he's known as killing many enemies. Yeah? When Krishna was here, he killed so many demons. Right? So this lust is also, it's like a demon within us. And Krishna, he can kill it. He can kill this demon. Yeah? But we have to take shelter of him. We have to very sincerely take shelter of him. And then we can become uncovered. We're covered now by these material desires. So this process is about uncovering our pure nature, our pure desire to serve Krishna. And when we become completely uncovered and we just have this desire to serve Krishna with devotion, then we've achieved the perfection of life. This is the goal. To get uncovered. And then a couple of verses later, Krishna says, Tasmat tvam indiyam nyadau niyamyapara tarshava. He says, therefore, from the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Regulating the senses. It's so important that we be regulated in all our activities. Our eating, our sleeping, our service, whatever services we're doing. This helps us in this journey back to Krishna. But if we're not regulated, then we just space out and we do this here and during one time and another thing during another time, and it's hard to conquer the mind. Because that's the nature of the mind. The mind wants to go here and there and everywhere. But if we're regulated, then this kind of subdues the mind. And then he says it's a destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. We're trying to gain knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of the absolute truth. Self-realization. And this is what destroys it. Krishna's very powerful statements here. So if we want to develop knowledge of the absolute, knowledge of Krishna, and self-realization, we have to pray to Krishna to become free of this great enemy, lust. And then a couple of verses later, Krishna says, Evam bhude parang vudva samsabhyatmanam atmana jahi satik mahabahu kamarupam dharashadam. Knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should carefully engage in Krishna consciousness and slay this formidable enemy known as lust. Great enemy known as lust. So we're not this body, we're not the intelligence, we're not the senses. But this is where the lust has its playground. But the more we understand that I'm not this body, I'm not these senses, I'm not this contaminated intelligence, but I'm the soul within, then the lust has no place to play. The more we realize that I'm the soul within, lust can't act. Not only the soul within, but I'm part of Krishna. And the pleasure of the soul is to engage in devotional service, to please Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, he has very kindly set up our society, so there's so many ways that we can please Krishna. And the best way to please Krishna is what's happening this month. The Prabhupada December Marathon. To dissipate the ignorance, the lust. People are bewildered by ignorance. Tamasima joyat yogama. Come out of the darkness and go to the light. So this lust, this greed, this envy, this ignorance, it's all darkness. And these books, they're light. So far we've distributed a lot of lights. And it's dissipating a lot of ignorance in this world. We may not know it, but people are reading Prabhupada's books. Sometimes when I'm distributing books, students come up and they quote purports from Prabhupada's books. They say, yeah, I like this quote here, the verbatim. They memorize quotes from Prabhupada's books. So this means they're getting enlightened. The darkness is dissipating and the light is increasing. So the more we distribute these books, the more the light of Krishna consciousness is increasing. Bhrigupati Prabhu, he gave a nice example one time. He said, just like when someone wants to heat up some water on the stove, when you first put the water on and the fire is even, it's a high heat, the first few seconds, nothing. You know, another 20 seconds, it's starting to warm up a little bit. Another minute, it's really starting to warm up. Another couple minutes, it may be in a boil. Yeah. But when you first put the pan of water on the stove, even though the fire is right under it, blazing, it looks like nothing's happening. It's even cold still. Right? But at some point, it boils. So by this book distribution, we're putting this fire out there, which will burn up their ignorance. And we don't know when it's going to happen that large numbers of people take to Krishna consciousness. But as long as we keep on putting this fire out there, it's going to happen. You know? And gradually it's happening all around the world. People are becoming inspired. They're getting purified by these books. And every time we read Prabhupada's books, every time we chant the holy name, our life is also getting lit up. We're also coming out of this darkness of material life. Sometimes devotees would ask Srila Prabhupada, when is World War III going to happen? Quite often Prabhupada would be asked this because, you know, they had a lot of faith in Prabhupada. Of course, we have that faith in Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would say different things. But actually, World War III started when Srila Prabhupada stepped on the land of America 50 years ago. He said, it's a war on Maya. He wrote one letter to the devotees of one temple. Our temples are not places for eating and sleeping, but they are bases from where we send out our soldiers to fight against Maya. And to fight against Maya means to drop hundreds and thousands and millions of books on the laps of the conditioned souls. Just as during wartime the bombs are falling from the sky like anything. But there's a nice thing about this war. It's a friendly war. No one's ever heard of a friendly war. But this is a friendly war. We're going out and we're befriending people. We're trying to make friends with them. And then we slip in the bomb. And they walk away. They don't know it, but they're walking away with a bomb that will destroy their ignorance, their material life. Just like one of the mottos now in book distribution, everybody walks away with a good impression. Previously, it was by hook or by crook, get them to take a book. And they got this saying from Prabhupada, by hook or by crook. But they don't know, actually the meaning of this came from England, and the word crook doesn't have the same meaning in this sentence that Prabhupada quoted. In England, and we're talking about 1800s, maybe 1700s, maybe even earlier, wood was something that was a big necessity because it's cold. They need wood. So they would sometimes steal wood. People would steal wood from other places. So the saying was, there was a statement by the municipality there, by hook or by crook, you can get some wood, by a hook or by a crook. A crook is the shepherds would have these sticks with a hook, and that was called a crook. So that's how that came about. By hook or by crook, you can get some wood, but don't jump fences or don't do anything. Just if you got a hook or a crook, all right, you can get whatever you can that way. So, but devotees took it another way. And they were doing so many nefarious ways to distribute books. You know, cheating people, lying, so many horrible ways to change up, so many horrible things. But fortunately, we've cleaned up quite a bit. We had a very bad reputation. I remember in the airport, sometimes people would come by, businessmen would come by, and they'd try to hit me with their briefcase. So we'd had to be really alert, you know. Sometimes they'd connect also. And there was fights sometimes. Because we were immature. It was the first time. It was the first few years of the Sankirtan movement. So we were young and passionate and immature. Now we've learned a lot from our mistakes. So now people appreciate the devotees' approach in distributing Prabhupada's books. And we want this. We want that people, they feel like they've met a very nice person, a gentleman. I'll tell you an interesting story of one person, young man. He was in the New York bus station, and there were some devotees distributing books there. And one devotee approached this young man and offered the book to him. He's explaining the book. And the devotee was very nice. He was a real gentleman. He was actually concerned that this person advanced in spiritual life. But this young man, he said, "No, I'm not interested, but thanks anyway." But he noted that this person was very nice. He was impressed. So then, a couple years later, this same young man, he was in Florida. And again, he was approached by a devotee, offered books to him. And again, the devotee was very nice, very personal, friendly. And again, he didn't take a book. But he asked this devotee, "Do you guys have a center around here?" And yeah, he gave him the address in Gainesville, Florida. He was so impressed by this devotee also that he decided to just go and visit the temple, see what the temple was like. This was 38 years ago, and he's still a devotee. He never left. He went back. He went to that temple just to check it out. Never read one line of Prabhupada's books. But he was just impressed by the devotees that he met. Daru Brahman Prabhu. He distributed a lot of books also. So it's so important that we leave people with a good impression. Whether they take a book or they don't take a book, everybody walks away with a good impression. So you want to do a lot of books, no doubt. 20,000 Bhagavad Gitas, that's a big number. But we want everybody to also walk away with a good impression. Then, in the future, maybe they'll take a book. But if we get too attached, sometimes I've seen in marathons that devotees get too attached to getting a position. And they, I just heard recently, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, I couldn't believe this. I just listened to a lecture he gave. He was speaking about book distribution. And he said sometimes the devotees would get so absorbed in the position in trying to be number one or number two or that they would just lose focus of what they're actually doing out there. Really lose focus. So much so that there was one devotee on a traveling party in England. with many others. There was about four devotees, and there was one devotee who had the key to the van. And he, they were out chanting japa, and he went back early. He got all his books out of the van. He locked it and left on book distribution. The devotees went to the van, and they couldn't get in. They couldn't get books because this devotee had locked it. Yeah. Sabotage. So that he can be number one. That's how, that's the furthest extent that I've ever heard of. But that goes to show how far one can go to try to get a position. You know, just leave nobody else a chance to beat him. You know? So they had to call the AAA or something. They had to break, you know, get in. And I think somebody else beat him in the marathon. But no, we should feel good when we see others doing good. There was one brahmachari. He wrote a letter to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I see all the other devotees, they're doing so much better than me in book distribution. And I feel like there's some envy. There's some envy in my heart because they're doing so well and I'm not doing very good. Interesting response Prabhupada wrote back to him. Because Prabhupada, he's omniscient. So he said to this devotee, he said, actually, it's not envy. It's just an appreciation that you have of the other devotees. Because this devotee that was writing the letter, his name is Dharmadas. Some of you may know Dharmadas. He might be the longest standing head pujari in our ISKCON society. He's been the pujari in Miami since 1973, but he was distributing books before that. Really sweet, nice devotee. So Prabhupada knew there's no envy. It was just an indirect way of appreciation. So we should appreciate the service that is being done by the other devotees. There shouldn't be any envy. Appreciation. This is so important that we appreciate the service done by the other Vaishnavas and encourage them. You see them doing nice. Oh, Prabhu, I saw you distributing so many books. That's so nice. Encourage them. You know, Prabhupada was, he was the best at encouraging. So we can learn from Srila Prabhupada. Even he would ask devotees to do a particular service. It's like he asked a devotee to start this BTG, to get it going, a magazine. And the devotee had no idea how to start a magazine. And Prabhupada said, don't worry, it's okay. Krishna will help you. And the first marathon was not a book distribution marathon, believe it or not. The first marathon was a painting marathon for Prabhupada's books. Yeah. About 5 devotees in Boston. Where they had that's where the BBT was back in the early days. Prabhupada put them on a marathon. ISKCON Press. Prabhupada put them on a marathon. They couldn't do their own paintings. One would start it, another would come by, he'd put a little, another would come, he'd finish it off. There was a full-on marathon to get pictures in Prabhupada's new books. And many of these artists, they were new artists. They weren't that good. So some of them said, well, Prabhupada, you know, we're not that experienced, so maybe we should go to school and get some experience and learn how to paint because we're just beginners. And Prabhupada said, no. This is how you'll learn how to paint. While you're painting, you just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And these paintings just turned out beautiful. Just see, Prabhupada's way of training. And I was thinking, that's so wonderful. Prabhupada is so Krishna conscious. And because Prabhupada was so Krishna conscious, these devotees said, all right. And they did that. And the result was wonderful. These early paintings are just filled with bhakti. And Prabhupada mentioned that also. He saw these paintings and he was just so impressed with the bhakti, with the devotion in these new paintings. So also, when we're distributing books, this is the technique. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We pray to Krishna. And I believe, actually Savas mentioned to me during this marathon, he wants everybody in the community to be involved. Yes? Does that sound good? Haribo! Because this is what pleased Prabhupada the most. So hopefully we'll have a very successful and do more than 20,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Thank you very much. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a very wonderful class, getting us all fired up for the marathon. But since you're an authority in ISKCON, there's one thing you said that is not correct that we have to correct, because somebody will repeat it and say, well, I heard it from Vijay. In relation to that story you told about Dharma. That you said
story about what?
In relation to the letter he wrote to Dharma. You said that Prabhupada is omniscient. He's not. And he himself said he's not. Because sometimes the devotee says...
I said what?
You said Prabhupada is omniscient. Omniscient, you said.
Oh.
You used that word. And that's very dangerous to say that. Because some devotees think like that. That Prabhupada was... He was a devotee, pure devotee, so he knew everything. So how come he allowed, this abuse of children and stuff like that? He's not omniscient. He himself said that. He was addressed right here on Venice Beach. They brought up the subject. Well, the spiritual master knows it. Prabhupada said, no, it's not like that. The spiritual master knows how to deliver Krishna to you, how to give you Krishna consciousness. He doesn't know everything. Krishna himself says in the fourth chapter when he's talking to Arjuna, he says that many, many births that you and I have passed, I remember them all, but you don't. Arjuna is a pure devotee, but he doesn't remember everything. He doesn't remember all his births and everything that he did with Krishna in the past. So this is a situation with a pure devotee. It's not that they know everything and they remember everything. And they're not. They're jivas. But they're pure in their devotion to Krishna. And they know whatever Krishna reveals to them. And they do whatever Krishna prompts them to do. They don't know it. They're not omniscient. We shouldn't say that because people take it seriously.
Forgive me. But there are many instances where devotees were with Prabhupada and they felt that Prabhupada was reading their mind.
Yeah, because Krishna revealed to him at that point. But that doesn't mean he knows everything at all times. That's what I meant.
That then you should Prabhupada say that. Revealed.
Well, say omniscient. Omniscient means you know everything all the time.
Sorry, okay. So Krishna revealed to him of his purity. Any other questions, comments? Or you can also correct, also, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he said we should live to be corrected. So it's always good to be corrected as well. Any other question or comment? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.